We are so glad that you're here today. We love serving Jesus here. Is there anybody in this place loves Jesus today besides me? Okay. Praise the Lord. We need to love Jesus. Wow. Like I preached here a while back, the day is coming in the not too distant future when you will need Psalms 91. Is that day here? I believe it's here. Now, the faith men and women are going to live as long as Jesus wants you to live. And then you're going home. Just like our brother David Wilkerson this week, well-known man of God, loved God with all his heart, went into New York City and when nobody else would do it as a young man and attacked the gangs in New York with the Word of God and changed people's lives forever. I mean, just done an awesome work and built a humongous church there with it. Of course, one of the things they're noted for is their choir. You know, I mean, they've been all over singing the Word of God. At 79, this last week, the gentleman was over in Mesquite with his wife of 57 years and was in a car truck accident and it killed him. 79. Do you think that caught God by surprise? No. Not at all. It was his time. You know, every one of us have an appointed day, do we not? And Jesus is coming for you. In other words, Brother David got a personal rapture. And I believe with all my heart, many of us will receive those personal raptures just like he did, and maybe before the rapture of the entire church comes. But it makes no difference to me when it happens. I'm just a foreigner here on this earth. I'm just visiting. I'm passing through. Praise the Lord. Our governor, Governor Perry, had asked all the churches to pray for rain to help put out the fires in West Texas. Well, we prayed, you know, and he asked us to pray Saturday and Sunday, so several of us prayed on Saturday, and then as a church, we prayed on Sunday. And many people laughed at Governor Perry for calling on God. And I thought how awesome it was. Before we left church Sunday afternoon at 6 o'clock after our little get-together, we had the potluck dinner last Sunday afternoon after the service. Before we left here at 6 o'clock, it was pouring down rain all out in Graham around the lakes. And before the day was over, where all those fires were, they got over 4 inches of rain. Do we serve an awesome Jesus? Now, when the church, if the church will just step in there and pray and believe God, he will do something. I mean, there's no telling how many churches were praying last Sunday. You know that? I mean, the prayers of the saints for bombarding heaven. And the king's up there saying, okay, I got y'all. Y'all have got my attention. So we think, what does it take for us to gather together, to meet together, to pray for something specific? Well, I'm sure God was up there saying, I wonder how much of Texas I'm going to have to burn before y'all decide to pray. Well, how sick are you going to have to get before you call on me? You know, well, but there's a lot of people that don't do it that way, do they?
Well, I did it the other way.
Oh, you did it the wrong way.
Like
oh, you didn't like it. In fact, while Terry's talking about that, I might add here that I think it was the first 9 or 10 years of their marriage. She calls it, how many?
11.
The first 11 was, what did you call your first 11?
It was a nightmare.
Oh, it was a nightmare.
It was bad.
She had 3 miscarriages. She had 3 children, and all 3 of the living ones were sick. And of course, when she heard about my ministry and a healing ministry, she came and brought the boys, had 3 boys, and she said, Pastor, I hear you have a healing ministry, and I want you to pray for my boys that they will be healed. And I said, well, honey, it's not quite that simple. I said, we have to find out the sin that's causing the problem with your children, and then we can pray, but we just don't pray without finding the sin. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, see, I have learned that sickness and sin go hand in hand. I said, according to God's word, with no sin, there is no sickness. That's written. And so she said, well, what do you think the sin could be? I said, well, I don't know. Let's start out with your relationship between your husband. How are you and your husband getting along? And she said, we're not. I said, well, there's the problem. She said, you mean you're telling me that my children are sick because of my sin? I said, guarantee it. She jumped up and screamed out of the church saying, you're an idiot. You're completely crazy. That's the way you saw me back in those days, wasn't it, Terry? Unfortunately. Yeah, but in fact, on the way home, she asked God. I told her as she screamed out the door saying I was crazy, I told her, I said, well, honey, I said, why don't you ask the Lord? He will tell you the truth. And so she was praying and asking the Lord when the Lord told her that I was right and she needed to come back and hear what I had to say. So it was awful, you know, that she had to come back and repent of her sins and submit herself to her husband and all that stuff that... This, she said on the tape when we made their story, she said, I had prayed for my husband that he would get killed in a car wreck so I'd draw double indemnity. Is that what you said, Terry? And you wonder why we're sick and afflicted and our children are sick and afflicted? Let me tell you. I hope you don't mind if I bombard you with all this stuff today, Terry. But it was the truth, and you made a statement with your husband on tape and everything to these sorts. So, and their testimonies back there on Testimonies of Miraculous Healing, how her and Frank went with me to GLC, and we made their story and put it on tape for everybody to hear. But I will have to say, since that first 11 years, how many years have passed? Nine more. And how much sickness and disease have you had in the last nine? Oh, my goodness. What a difference, huh? In other words, we could say the first... Yeah, so we could say the first 9 years was living hell, and the first 11 years were living hell, and the last nine has been glory on earth, right? When you step into God's will and obey His word, He just blesses your socks. Your children have not been sick. You've not been sick, and you and your husband just love each other. Just have a good time, don't you?
Zero money on the doctor.
Hey, zero money on the doctor. Isn't that wonderful? I just love serving Jesus and see Him doing things. Amen. Now then, I met a man back here. In fact, I met this man back when I had done the teachings at Bill Gothard. And this is where this man met me. And I'm going to ask Nate to come up here and say a couple of things. Would you do that? I want him just to come up here and tell us a little, whatever's on his heart today. He called me this morning. He was in town. And I just want you to, he's a Bill Gothard follower. Seminars, but tell us what happened to Big Sandy when we had the deal a few years ago.
Yeah, like he said, I'm Nate, and we're the Miller family from Kansas. And we just came from a seminar back in Big Sandy last week. And then I picked up a job in Irving.
Yeah. Sorry.
And so we're staying the weekend, and then I'm going to do the job and then going home. So that's why we're here. And but back in 07, we saw this Thurman on our pamphlet coming up, you know, this Big Sandy conference with the school pro. It's like a school curriculum sort of thing, but then they get together and have kind of a rally, or it's kind of a spiritual input type thing, and very, very inspirational meetings. Well, then Thurman was there, and he shared, and our experience was a couple years before that is we were basically pushed out of our church because we believed in healing in the atonement. We knew that Jesus paid it all. Amen. And that we need to step into that and believe that. That's how we felt. And our church basically pushed us back and out because we believed in healing in the atonement. Well, when we came to Big Sandy, Texas for that meeting when Thurman was there, and then he started sharing this very thing that our hearts have believed, and so we were excited. And but then the next morning, I think it was that first evening you gave your first...
Actually, the first morning at 9 till 10:30.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I was the first speaker on Thursday morning.
Then the next morning, they have a men's meeting in the mornings, early morning. And so then I heard them talk about this Thurman and his first set of meetings in a very, very negative way. And I guess you might almost say that it was like they crucified him without him being there, of course. You weren't at the meeting.
So. No, I didn't come.
Anyhow.
The Lord just told me to stay at home, and so I didn't go.
Very, very negative and very, they were just, you know, it sounded to me like they were going to be pushing him away, but he did get a chance to speak the second time. But they're at that meeting, but not at the other three conferences that were planned already. But we actually got a set of those CDs before they discontinued them. We went right to the desk, asked them for it, and they weren't even printing them then yet, and we requested that we could have some. They were only doing it by request at that point. And so we got in and we got a set of those. But out of that meeting, the good thing about that is Bill Gothard, who is in charge, and because of the relationship that you started with him, he wrote a book. And see, Bill wasn't as negative as his board was.
Amen.
And all the other people.
Amen.
So Bill wrote a book concerning these very good things that were shared, put it in his own words, made it sound like it came from somebody else and not Thurman. And so now there's a lot of good coming out of that, and it's just a blessing to see that the Word does not die.
That's right.
His Word lives on, regardless if we get stomped on and pushed down and pushed out of the way, His Word lives on.
Yeah, praise the
and,
Lord.
And we see some of the good fruit from that.
Praise the Lord, brother. So. Praise God. I appreciate you sharing with us. Sure. Praise the Lord. I'll have to say that the plan is much bigger than us, because when God put me and Bill Gothard together, it was a kind of a long ordeal about the sickness and sin issue, because Bill, he didn't believe it either until, the first young man he called and wanted me to pray over him. And I told him, I said, well, Bill, he's got a sin in his life. And he said, Thurman, I know you tell me that. I said, well, let's find his sin. So we took about 45 minutes or an hour over the phone. We found Andy's sin. And then after we found his sin, and let me tell you what Andy's sin was. Unbelief of the promises of God. Unbelief. That sin kept him from getting healed. Unbelief. I mean, the boy was not living in any kind of wild sin. He was a 21 or 22-year-old young man that loved God with all of his heart. He was as pure and clean as any 21-year-old boy I had ever ministered to in my life. But he was down walking with a walker and going to have surgery. And I told him, I said, son, I believe you're as fine a young man as I've ever met. But I said, I believe that you just don't believe the promises of God. He said, Mr. Scrivener, I believe all the promises of God. I said, well, let me find out. I said, you know what Matthew 18:19 says? No. I said, well, open your Bible and read it. So let's put Matthew 18:19 on the screen for you to look at. Now, this is a promise Jesus made to each one of us. Now, look at this promise. Look at Matthew 18:19. I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth concerning, what? So what kind of limitations did the Lord give us? If we repent of all sin, there's no limitations. So he says, anything that you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. I said, Andy, you don't believe that. He said, I guess I don't. I said, because if you did, you would have got another young man that believed, and the two of you would have prayed, and you wouldn't have to be in that walker. Did God say anything we ask Him for? Yes. I mean, who wrote the book, me or the Holy Spirit? Oh, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is not some book I'm preaching out of that I wrote, is it, brother? This is the Word of God. And is He big enough to make it come to pass? Yeah. Of course He is. And so when Andy repented and said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I did not believe that promise. I said, okay, now, Andy, I'm going to take that promise, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you, and I'm going to guarantee you the King of the universe is going to heal your back. Now, Jesus says, when you ask, you must ask in faith. How much wavering? But see, this is what we do. Now then, I'm going to take this promise and I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to hope Jesus is going to hear. Is that the way we do it? Why did we do it like that? Because if He don't do it, we don't want it to look bad. If we guarantee He's going to do something and then He don't do it, guess who that's going to make look bad? Oh, me and you, and we don't want to look bad, do we? But you know, if you don't step out in faith, you're going to see the Lord do very little in your life. So, I prayed the prayer of faith for Andy, and I said, Andy, call me back with your praise report because I guarantee you'll have one. Do you hear any faith in that, Betty? See, now that's the kind of faith the King's looking for, isn't it? So the next morning, Bill called me back about 7 o'clock. He said, Thurman, I got to tell you what happened to Andy last night. I said, the minute you hung up the phone, God healed him. He was healed. He said, man, I want you to speak at one of my conferences. But he said, you know, these people, they don't want you to speak. But he said, I want you to. I said, well, Bill, don't worry about it. We both work for Jesus. And if He wants me there, He'll make the way. Well, a couple of weeks later, he called me and said, Thurman, I got another young man by the name of Robert that works for me. And said, Robert, he's not just down in a walker. He's down in the bed, and Robert can't even walk. I said, well, he's got a sin in his life. He said, Thurman, you always say they got a sin in their life. I said, there is a sin in his life. Well, it took me over 2 hours to find Robert's sin. Again, he worked for Mr. Gothard, and he was a great young man, clean and pure and holy. I mean, you know, I could not find anything. And when I got the one, I said, Robert, let me ask you a very personal question. I said, you ever been married? No, sir. I said, do you date? No, sir, I just don't date or anything. I said, have you ever had sex with a woman? No, sir. I said, you're a virgin. He said, absolutely. I'm going to keep myself clean and pure till I marry the girl I marry before I have sex. I said, okay. Have you ever looked at a beautiful girl and thought about going to bed with her? He said, yes, I have. I said, do you know that's adultery? He said, yes, sir, I've read that. I know that. I said, well, have you repented for that? He said, I guess I haven't. I said, why don't you tell the Lord how sorry you are for committing adultery? You know how hard that was for that young man? It was a virgin. All thing he had done was thought about it in his mind. But he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent. I said, now then, let me use this same promise, Matthew 18:19, I used for Andy. And we prayed again. I said, now, Robert, call me with your praise report. And I hung up the phone, and God instantly healed him. And the very next morning, Bill's on the phone. He said, Thurman, I don't care what anybody says. You're going to speak at my seminar. I said, okay. I told you that if God wanted me there, He'd make sure I got there. And I said, He's done it, hadn't He? He said, yes, He has. And so I went, and I spoke 2 days there. And, of course, in the meantime, one of the other pastors that Bill knows, after he saw both these boys healed, one of the other pastors of a big church, he called me one day and said, Thurman, I've got a good friend of mine, told me who it was, and said, and I knew him, of course. He says, he has a son that's sick and a daughter that's sick. He said, if I were to get them on the phone, would you pray for them? I said, yes, I most definitely will. He said, okay. He called me back. He said, tomorrow afternoon, or Thursday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, will you be where you can be, or I can get you on the phone? I said, yes, sir, I'll be right here at 2 o'clock. So he called me the next day at 2, or Thursday at 2 o'clock, and I talked to the young man, the pastor's son, and I told him, I said, you know, he said, I'm in excruciating pain. I said, well, son, are you a born-again Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I was raised up in my dad's church. I said, well, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. I said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I do. Of course I do. I said, okay, so you got a sin in your life that's causing all this pain and suffering. I talked to him 2 hours. Finally, he said, I've heard all this nonsense I'm going to listen to. I'm telling you, I do not have a sin in my life. I said, son, I'm telling you, you're sick and in pain. You got a sin in your life. I said, and you know what it is, but you're not willing to repent. You know what your sin is. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me, I think, exactly what his sin was. I would never say it, but I believe I know what his sin was. He would never repent. And so he hung up the phone and left. And then his dad come on the phone. We were all on a speakerphone. His dad, the pastor of this huge church, he said, Thurman, you're preaching a condemning gospel. I said, let me answer that from 1 John. When the Word of God condemns you not, you know you have the petition you ask of God. I said, your son has a sin. You know what it is. And he's not willing to repent. So I said, I'm going to tell you, brother, your son is not going to get well until he repents of that sin. He said, can I pray for you? I said, sure, you can pray for me. He prayed for me. And I have never heard from him since. In fact, I've heard since then, he died. He died. Oh, we're all going to die someday. Are we not? But you know, I have learned, if you got a sin in your life and you want to stay sick, just go ahead and keep right on sinning. And you know, usually when I say you got a sin in your life, some people think, oh my gosh, he's telling me everybody in my church is a murderer or an abortionist. No, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, just like Andy was one of the finest young Christian men I've ever had the privilege to meet, but his sin was unbelief. Now, if you think, good grief, that's not really a bad sin. Well, it'll keep you from getting answers from God. Just think, when Jesus walked up that day, when there was a little boy, and they said, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples to heal him, and they could not. Jesus was really nice to him, wasn't he? He said, you perverse bunch. How long am I going to have to put up with you? Bring the boy to me. You know what we would have done? Said, Lord, here, it wasn't your will to heal him. Isn't that what we would have said? We prayed for him. He didn't get healed. Well, of course, it can't be my fault. Yeah, it can be my fault. But Jesus brought the little boy over there. And, of course, as they're bringing him, the demons of hell flung him down on the ground and flops him around and everything else. And he asked the man, said, how long has he been like this? He said, since he was a child. Jesus screamed, come out of him and never enter him again. And the demon threw him down on the ground and flopped around, and everybody said, he's dead. He said, no, he's not. He reached down, took his hand, and raised him up and said, he's fine now. And the boy was healed from that very hour. Then the disciples came to him later that night and said, Lord, why could we not heal that boy? What was his answer to them? What was his answer? Unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Well, why do you think we can't get people healed? Unbelief. That's our big problem. We don't have to be, people that's out here committing adultery, lying, stealing, cheating, doing all what we call bad sins. If you're just living in unbelief, that's just as bad to God as any other sin, because it's sin. And it'll separate you from Him and from seeing His miracles. So anyway, I thought how much fun it was after I left up there that week, and I got to speak on Thursday morning and Friday morning. And of course, we made two DVDs, or CDs, not DVDs, but CDs. One of them, the one we did on Thursday, was called God's Power. And that's the one, this brother right here, he is a pastor. And I did not realize, but here a few years ago, I've told his story a lot of times. He called me from Plano, I believe that's where your church is. And he said, I've just listened to this CD called God's Power. And he said, I'm a pastor of a church and I want a bunch of them. How much are they? And I said, well, I don't sell anything. I give it away. And he said, but I want a bunch. I said, how many do you want? He said, 5,000. I said, okay. I said, but they're still free. So I made them and took them to him. And he's been handing those things out and putting them on doors and Plano and everything ever since. But it is an awesome work of God, isn't it? But anybody that can listen to that and realize that, that can see anybody but Jesus in that, you've got a problem. Because there ain't nothing on those miracles on that CD that Thurman Scrivener could possibly do. Even if I was a medical doctor, I could not have done those things. Only the King of the universe can do what he done. And he what is impossible with our God?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Whatever we can believe him for, there ain't nothing impossible with God. Today would be a very good day to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know that? I mean, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to know him. And if you don't know Psalms 91 by heart, I think this week I would work on that a little bit. I would work on that because just think, remember what I've told you so many times, that when I got saved, according to God's Word, the word redemption is used two times in God's Word. One time, when we get saved, we're redeemed from sin. See, a lot of people say, you know, you have to confess every sin you've ever committed to get saved. But let me ask you a question. I was only 11 when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. What if I'd have been 50? At 11, do you think I could remember all the sins I committed? You think there's a possibility I might remember every sin I committed by the time I was 11? No, ain't no way. So what if I was 50 or 60 and lived a worldly life? What do you think the chances of me knowing what my sins are? No, there is not one chance in a billion that you could remember every sin. In fact, most of us probably couldn't remember every sin we committed this week. You know that? We probably won't be able to remember just the sins we committed this past week. But when we got saved, we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed means he paid the price that you couldn't pay. And so when you receive that redemption from sin, he washed away all your sin. So when you accepted Jesus, you just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you sent your Son to die on the cross for me and rise again on the third day for my sins. How many of your sins did he wash away?
All of them.
Every one of them. You didn't have to name a single one of them. He washed them all away. Now then, if you sin again that next day, or maybe that day, which most of us do, unfortunately, then the redemption don't count. Now you got to repent. In other words, every sin you commit after you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you commit another sin, let's say that you lied the next day. Now you got to confess that sin or it's there. It's not covered under redemption. That's why Jesus said that if you sin, if you confess your sin, I am righteous and just to forgive your sin and to restore you to fellowship. But you have to recover. That's just like this little story about this little girl out here on the hallway. I don't know if some of you may or may not have noticed that. But just as you walk out the doorway there, there's a big set of 8x10 pictures on the wall there on the left. You would never believe that the right half of those and the left half of those are the same little girl. When you look at the right half there, you see a little girl that's afflicted with eczema. She's born with it. She's got it. She's been to 12 doctors. Doctors can't help her. And she is absolutely eat up with eczema. I mean, her little arms are broke out, her face, her neck. You see those pictures, you'll see how awful she looks. Well, the mother called and wanted me, she listened to my Caitlin story, and she called and wanted me to pray for the little girl, said, I know she'll be healed. I said, no, honey, it don't work like that. I said, there's a sin somewhere in either yours or your husband's life. I said, do y'all have other children? Yes. I said, are any of them sick? She said, no. I said, okay, somewhere between the last child and this child, either you or your husband done something that the king didn't like. And he struck you with a curse. He struck your child with a curse. And I said, that's why she was born with a sickness. I said, now we got to find that sin. Because Jesus clearly told us in his word that if you obey me, I will bless you and the fruit of your womb. And you know what the fruit of your womb is? Your children. Then he also said that if you do not obey me, then I will curse you and the fruit of your womb, which is your children. So he will curse your children. Some people say, God would never strike a child. Well, tell that to David. David sinned with Bathsheba, and what did the Lord do to that baby?
He killed him.
And the Lord struck the child with sickness until it died in 1 week. Is that right?
That's right.
And who did it? It says the Lord did that. So he's still in that business. He still hates sin, and he still strikes us or our children. So I told that mother and that father, I said, we've got to find the sin. And so, of course, I sent them a bunch of CDs and DVDs, and they listened to them for months. And, of course, they found out lots of things were sin, and they repented for all those things. And then the mother, Sally, she called and said, we're ready to be prayed for. Okay. I said, you think you've got every sin repented? She said, known and unknown. My husband and I said, we're active church members. We go to church. My husband's a great man of God. You know, he's the spiritual leader of the house. I'm in submission to my husband. You know, all these things that she said that she had learned that they're doing. And so we prayed for the little girl. And I said, call me with your praise report. Well, about 2 months, she called back and said, Thurman, she's worse. I said, well, we didn't find the sin. I said, I prayed in faith, and y'all said you repented. So we go through this scenario with this couple for nearly a year and a half. And they're looking for sin. Finally, I tell them, I said, you know, I don't know what the sin is, but God knows what the sin is. And if you know, if the king says, call unto me and I will answer you, I said, if he knows the answer and we know he knows, then I suggested you and your husband begin to pray and ask God for your answer. Wouldn't that be the best place to go? I mean, we've tried everything else and nothing else worked. So we might as well go directly to our Lord and our God and ask him, Father, in the name of Jesus, what is this couple's sin? That their little daughter is sick. And so they began to petition the Lord every day, pray diligently. And only a few days, maybe 2 weeks, whatever it was, a short period of time, she called back and said, Thurman, this morning when I woke up, I heard two words, lying and deception. I said, do you know what that means, Sally? She said, yes. When I was 39 and my husband was 43, I went to my husband and said, honey, my biological clock is ticking and it's not going to be long before I'm going to be too old to have children. And I want one more baby before we get too old to have children. My husband flatly told me, no, no more children. He said, I'm 43 years old. I do not want a child in high school when I'm in my 60s. Now see, men think long term. Women think short term. She wants to hold this little thing in her arms. That's what she's thinking about. So that's the way God made us, short-term thinkers and long-term thinkers. And so she promised her husband she would do everything she could to keep from getting pregnant. But she lied. She did everything she could to get pregnant. She got off of her birth control. She made sure that she had sex with her husband at exactly the right time when she could conceive. And of course, she got pregnant. And then when she got pregnant, she said, honey, look, it must be God's will for us to have another baby. Now, see, nobody realizes that's sin. But that's all sin. She was lying and deceiving her husband, and God didn't like it. And so when the little girl was born, she was struck with this disease. Well, I said, okay, that's the sin there, Sally. And so I said, have you asked your husband to forgive you? She said, I have. I said, did he? She said, oh, yes, he forgave me. And so I said, well, have you asked the Lord to forgive you? She said, yes, I have. I said, well, we know he forgive you because did he say in his word, if we repent, he forgives us? Does that mean every time? Praise God for an awesome forgiving God, huh? And so I said, now we can pray the prayer of faith for your little girl. And we prayed the prayer of faith. And in just about a week or two, whatever it was, just a few days, they call back and they sent us some pictures. And the pictures on the left out there is this little girl that her whole body. In fact, the mother said, I don't want to just pray for healing. I want to pray for a new coat of skin. I don't want my little daughter to go through life with all these old, terrible scars all over her body because of my sin. I want to make sure that I have repented to God, to my husband, and then I'm going to ask the Father in the name of Jesus to give my daughter a brand new coat of skin. Did the Lord say we could ask for anything? Why do we not take him at his word? Isn't that something? So I said, okay, no problem. So we asked the Father in the name of Jesus to not heal their little girl, but to do a complete renewal of her skin and take away all the scars. And when you look at the six pictures on the left as you walk out, you'll see a beautiful little girl that has how many scars on her body, Kim?
Not one.
Not one. Isn't that something? Isn't she beautiful? She's beautiful. Now, you know, that's an impressive story, isn't it? You know, we should all be seeing God do those kind of things. But, you know, until we find out that the sin issue is directly connected to sickness and disease, very few people I've ever seen will ask someone to repent of sin before they pray. Is that right? You know, like I've asked this question a lot of times. You walk into church one morning and somebody says, "Good morning, brother. How are you doing?" And you say, "Oh, I feel awful this morning. I'm terrible." When's the last time somebody said, "Well, what kind of sin did you do this week to make you sick like that?" I mean, isn't that amazing? Well, now, to confirm that one more time, you know, we have to go back and go to Exodus 15, 25, and 26, and we have to see what these three sets of verses say, because I don't want you to go away thinking, you know, he's crazy. I want you to go to Exodus 15, 25. So Moses cried out to the Lord, and of course, I'm just going to read verse 26 in the interest of time. "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in His sight, obeying His commands and His laws, then I will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who healeth you." What do we got to do to make that work, Terry?
Obey.
Obey? So you got that, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to Exodus 23, 25, and 26, and let's see what that next one says. That's Exodus 15, Exodus 23, Exodus 23, 25, and 26. "You must serve only the Lord your God." Now, who would we have to serve? In other words, I can't put my car first. I can't put my house first. I can't put my wife first. Wow. I mean, he's just a little bit hard to get along with here, isn't he? Woo. "You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do," and isn't that wonderful? "If, I will bless you with food and water, and I will keep you healthy." Do you like that? "There will be no miscarriages or infertility among your people, and I will give you long, full lives." I mean, do you like anything in that covenant? You love it. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 15:7. Let's look at this one last one right here. We'll just get three of these. That'll be enough for today. Deuteronomy 15:7. "But if there are any poor people in your town when you arrive in the land of God, you do not be..." Oh, that's not the one I wanted. 7:15. Excuse me. I got that backward. It's Deuteronomy 7:15. "And the Lord will protect you from..." What? In other words, "and the Lord will protect you from a little bit of sickness." That's all. You just can't get nothing but all out of that, can you? "From all sickness, He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you know in Egypt, but He will bring them upon all your enemies." Now then, if we obey Him and do what He says, how much sickness and disease in these three set of verses does God guarantee to take away from us? All of it. So do we have to be sick?
No.
Not if we believe Him. So if we're in the church and we're sick, what's wrong? Could it possibly be your unbelief is making you sick? Could it possibly be that just you're not some murdering, adulting, lying, thieving, abortionist critter? You're a good man or woman in church. Maybe you just lied to your husband. Now, I know no woman would ever do that, would she? Never. I know no husband would ever not love his wife like Christ loved the church. Would we, guys? Now, we want to know. God says, He says, "Men..." Oh, this girl's snugging up to him to right here. So, I'm going to say, the Lord says, husbands, you are to love your wives like I love the church. And if you do, I will answer your prayer. He said, if you do not, your prayers will be hindered. Now, do we have any idea why so many of us men once in a while don't get a prayer answered? Maybe because we're not walking in love to that girl. You know how easy it is to get crossways with these girls? Oh, listen to that. Oh, you better repent, brother, right this second. Lord, I'm sorry. Now, guys, is that the way we are? Sure, that's the way we are. It's always easy to look at her and say, it's her fault. Oh, my goodness. How many times have I had a man and a woman standing right here, and one of them sick or both of them sick, and I say, how's your love walk with your wife? And he says, fine. And I look over her and say, how's your love walk with him? And she starts crying. Uh-oh, we got a problem there, don't we? Oh, how many times have we seen that, honey? Oh, this time and time and time again. So see, sometimes the guy thinks we're okay. Everything's great. But, you know, that's just, yeah, great for him, yeah. It's just like one day, you know, Cheryl and I had been married, I don't know, a year or two or whatever it was, and I thought, you know, I being the pastor and everything else, I know I got to be perfect. But I'll just ask her the simple question, is there anything that I could change that would make you happier? And I thought she's going to have to say, well, let's see, let me spend a week or two thinking about it. And immediately she said, yes. I said, what? I said, what did you could think of so quick like that I could change to make you a happier girl? She said, do you have to pull your T-shirts off wrong side out every time you take them off? I wanted to say, well, I've been doing it like that 60 years. I said, so you don't like me turning my T-shirts wrong side out? She said, no, because when I wash them, then I have to turn them right side out. So why don't you take them off right side out? Now, you know what I wanted to say when the manly part rose up in me? I wanted to say, woman, get over it. Is that what us guys think? Of course. But now, if the love of God is in my heart, what am I going to do? That's exactly right, Terry. I'm going to teach this old dog how to do a new trick. I'm going to teach him how to take that off. And after a couple of weeks of that, I said, well, honey, she said, that's so much better. I love it. Now, wasn't that something? That was bugging her all the time, and she had not said a word to me. And so when the Lord moved on my heart, I said that, and I just knew, you know, I mean, I just knew I had to be perfect. You know, I thought I loved her so much and was so good for I couldn't have possibly done anything wrong. Isn't that right, Rosemary? I mean, no man, you know, that could do that. You know, and then when she just jumped at me like that quick, I thought, holy cow. So I've learned, don't ask the girls, including your wife, unless you're ready. Because if you ask one, even the girls that are working around here, I might say, girls, is there something I could change? Man, they'd probably get a list out, you know. Woo! I've just learned to keep my mouth shut. But you understand this scripture now that we talk about. I'm going to go, we talk about all these things that God's doing, that he's judging the world. Now I want us to go to this wonderful scripture that I've never met a man or a woman that could live in these sets of scriptures. Now, this is unfortunate, but I have never met one yet besides our king. But that scripture we're going to start with is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And this is called the love chapter. And I've never met a man or a woman that I know is walking in this 24/7. Maybe at times you may get close. But look at what this says. 1 Corinthians 13, if I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noises like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I didn't love, how does God see me? That's why he said faith works by love, didn't he? If you're not walking in love, your faith will not work. He won't let it work. Faith expressing itself through love. So how many of you would like to be able to, every time you pray a prayer, see God do something spectacular? Okay, I'll tell you how to do it. You got to learn how to walk in love. You're going to have to master these next few verses to get the king to do these wonderful things. Verse 2 and 3. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. So if we don't learn to walk in love, how does God see us? Useless. Useless. And it's so difficult to walk here. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. So how would you like to do all these wonderful things? Like, for instance, I'll even tell this man's name because he told us. When we went down and sat and talked to Howard Pittman a few years ago, Howard died in 1979, and he was a Baptist preacher, and he went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, the Lord spoke to him before he came and said, Howard, if you come through that door, you can't go back. But he said, I want to tell you before you come in, when you come through that door, you'll be sealed in heaven forever, but you will not get one single reward. Now, how many preachers do you know in your life that would like to get home to heaven one day and the Lord say, I'm sorry, you don't get not one single reward? That's not what I want to hear, do you, brother? No. But here he was, a Baptist preacher. Then he jumped out and said, but Lord, we have raised 27 foster children for you. And the Lord says, I've heard you talk about that and brag about that all those years. You didn't raise them children for me. You raised them so you could brag about it. Look what I did. He said, you're not going to get a single reward for raising a single one of those 27 children. How many men do you know that's raised 27 foster children? I don't know of a single one. He thought he was going to get all kinds of rewards for that. And God was not happy with him because he gloated about it all the time. And somebody said, wow, look at what you guys must really have to sacrifice. Oh, yeah, it's really something. Can you just see us? That's the way we are. Yeah, look what I did. I ain't never raised 27 foster children. Have you? No, I hope that's not what God's called me to do. I'm glad, too, you know, because, you know. In other words, you've raised 3 and you wouldn't want to raise 27 either, would you, Terry? That would be pretty busy, wouldn't it? And so Howard pleaded with the Lord, Lord, if I ain't going to get a single reward, would you please, I don't want to come into heaven. He had an aneurysm in his heart and a blood vessel had bursted and he died. He said, Lord, please send me back and let me try this again. So in 1979, God sent Howard Pittman on a trip of the spirit world. We had the privilege to sit and talk with him all day long one day after the Lord spoke to me and told me. I was walking right down the hallway of the ministry center. I had never heard of Howard Pittman. And the Lord said, son, I want you to contact Howard Pittman. I thought, Howard Pittman? I heard that, but I thought, I don't know who Howard Pittman is, so I didn't do anything, you know, and so, you know how when thoughts come to you, you know, okay. I didn't hear an audible voice that day, so I don't know, a month or two later, whatever it was, I'm walking down that same corridor, and the Lord says, son, I told you to contact Howard Pittman. I said, okay, Lord, so I go on the internet, type in Howard Pittman, and I find him. Boy, he's there, all right, and I read his story, I called him, and I said, Howard, and he answered the phone. I called and he answered the phone and I told him what happened and that we need to come see him. And he said, well, where are you? And I said, close to Fort Worth. He said, well, I'm going to be in Palestine in 2 months. He said, if you want to come down there, I'll drive in on Thursday and I'll be there all day Friday. Won't have anything to do. So if you'd like to bring your team and you all come down on Friday, we'll talk. And so we did. And I thought how awesome God is when we do this, just like today. I normally never answer the phone on Sunday. Never. But today at 12:15, I'm sitting there and I'm studying and I hear the phone ringing, like I hear lots of times on Sunday. I pick it up and said, the Living Savior Ministries? I said, hello? She said, hello? I said, can I help you? She said, who is this? I said, this is Pastor Thurman Scrivener. She said, it can't be. On Sunday. I said, why can't it be? She said, I just prayed and asked God, God, I need a special request, and if you possibly could you please let Pastor Thurman answer the phone himself today? Why do you think I answered the phone today? Isn't God awesome? That lady, she had a prayer request, and I prayed for her, and of course, she said, oh, Pastor, I'm so glad that I got you. I so hope this works. I said, ma'am, it won't work. You got to have faith. You got to believe. You can't have no doubt. I said, did you ask God to let me answer the phone? She said, yes, and I couldn't believe that either. When I had picked up the phone, I couldn't believe that was really you. I said, ma'am, you're talking to your Father through His Son, Jesus, and He makes everything flow just exactly like He wants it to. I said, so when you ask Him, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need to get a hold of Pastor Thurman today. Let me talk to him. You should have said, thank you, Lord. I know he's going to answer the phone. That's the way it should. Isn't that the way we should do it, Tom? Sure. That's faith. And if God didn't step over that faith line once in a while for most of us, would we ever get anything from him? No. No, it's a good thing he's a loving, kind, merciful, gentle God, isn't it? So I prayed with her again, and she was so amazed. I said, now, ma'am, remember, when you ask God for something, always believe He's going to do it. But you got to believe with faith. I said, without it, you know, He won't do anything. But I said, you know, it's obvious the Lord moved on my heart because I said, I never answer the phone on Sunday when I'm studying. Just never. But today at 12:15, I happened to look at my watch. When the phone started ringing, I heard it ring about three times. I looked up, it said 12:15. I thought, I'll answer that. And now I know why. Because she had prayed and asked God to let me answer the phone. So that's what I did. I answered the phone. Now then, when we go to here, he says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Wow. 4 and 5. Love is patient. How patient? I'm going to forgive you this time, woman, but don't you ever do it again. You hear me? Love is really patient. One time, right? Love is patient. What is love? What is patient love? Over. When your children mess up, you forgive them over. And mothers learn that better than us dads usually. With your children, you have to learn to be patient. And love is patient. And then look what else it says. Love is not only patient, but it's kind. You don't read somebody the riot act, do you? I'm going to forgive you this time, but don't you ever do it again or I'll get you. And then I've had people that 5 years later, their husband messed up again and she comes and said, I told you if you ever done that again, I would never forgive you. And they wonder why they're sick. Don't they? It's just like I watched the news this last week. I watch a little news once in a while. There was a beautiful young lady. She had been through 3 bouts of breast cancer. And I thought, if that poor girl only knew what I know about God's Word. She's had breast cancer. I believe it was in her left breast. And if she knew what I had learned studying God's Word and the hundreds of women that I prayed for. When you learn that if a woman has breast cancer in her left breast, she always has unforgiveness toward a female member of her family. Every time. Every time. Unforgiveness is what brings the breast cancer into women. I can guarantee every woman, if you will walk in love with God and do what these verses we're talking about say, if you will walk in love with God, I guarantee you will never have to worry about breast cancer. It will never come upon you. I don't know how many hundreds of women even since Cheryl and I, in 7 years that we've been ministering together, I have no idea how many hundreds of women we've seen all over the world. Norway, Europe, you know, Germany, United States, all over that we've seen. And some of them have been instantly healed of breast cancer when they forgave a family member. Isn't that awesome? I don't even have any idea how many. But if a woman has breast cancer in her right breast, she has unforgiveness toward a female acquaintance, not a family member. Now, this is where we see so many women come down with breast cancer, especially in the right breast. The husband has an affair with a woman, maybe just once or twice. Well, maybe a year or two or 3 years later, she comes down with breast cancer in the right breast. You have to go back and check all these things, and you find out that he had an affair. You say, have you forgiven him? Oh, yes, I finally forgave him. How about the woman that he had the affair with? Yes, I've forgiven her too. No, oh, yeah, sure you have, huh? Mm-hmm. You ain't even fooling me, much less God. You know, when you mention that other woman, when she, you know, when she wants to just punch her out, you can just see that come up in her, can't you? Hey, she hadn't forgiven that woman. That's why she has breast cancer in her right breast. And then if she's willing to forgive her. What does it mean to forgive her? Oh, this is what it means to forgive her. Stand up, honey. I'm the woman. I walk in. Here's the other woman. And I say, oh, it's so good to see you today. I love you. How are you doing today? And be happy, be truthful about it and smile. Instead of walking in and say, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to look at her. Now, that's what most people do, isn't it? Her? She committed adultery with my husband, and you expect me to hug her? You got to be out of your mind. Well, if you're not willing to forgive her like that, and you're eventually going to come down with breast cancer in your right breast. Now, how many of you women want to die with breast cancer? Oh, no hands, huh? Okay. But you have to walk in love and obedience to God's word. Just like we said a while ago, if we obey God in everything, how much sickness does he promise to take away from us?
All.
Isn't it something? All. So we don't have to be sick, do we, brother? Not at all. But this is a tough one to walk in. Love is patient and it's kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. And love's not proud. Well, this is a mouthful. Love is not rude. Now, you tell me you know somebody that's walked in all this. Love does not demand its own way. Oh, how many of you watched any of the royal wedding? I'm sure a lot of you did. I turned the news on the other night just exactly at the right time to see where they said that the princess, whatever her name is, I don't even know what her name is, she had them take the word obey out of her. Yes. Yeah, both of them did? She had them take out, I have to obey my husband. What kind of a marriage do you think we're going to have here? That's one thing you know for sure. It's in the book, isn't it, Terry? And whenever it says be submissive, just like the Lord told you, my dear, when I told you to be submissive to me, yes, Lord, I don't have a problem with that. Terry, do you know what that word submissive means? Obey? Yes, that's exactly what it means. I don't have a problem obeying you, God. Oh, but that man, Lord, it'll be over his dead body when I obey him. And the Lord says, no, Terry, it'll be over your children's dead bodies. That got Mama's attention, didn't it? She didn't want to see her babies die. And so she decided it paid much better dividends to obey the king. And when she obeyed him, you heard her say, they ain't been back to a doctor in 9 years.
It's always for our good.
Sure, it's always for our good. Why do you think God does anything he does? Because he hates us? No, because he loves us. He knows what works and what doesn't work, doesn't he? And just like Terry will tell you, the first half of their marriage was hell on earth. The next half of their marriage has absolutely been wonderful. And that's the way it'll be for everybody. But love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. How many of y'all, your mate irritates you? Don't hold your hand up. When you see all these girls over there hitting their husband, every one of you, y'all beginning to understand what I mean? It's virtually impossible to walk here. It's tough, isn't it, Nancy? Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Guarantee. I don't care who you are. See, at least she's honest. It's hard to work that. I guarantee. I'm telling you. You ask Cheryl. No, don't you dare ask her. Yes, she's learned the real lesson. She has learned, if I get out of sorts with her, she just says, okay, Lord, I'm turning him over to you. You work on his heart. You soften his heart and make him more like Jesus, and then I can live with him.
Amen.
Anytime a man, I got to tell you all this story. Some of y'all heard this story, but this is so awesome. That, you know, I got bit by a dog when I was a little bitty guy, about 4 or 5 years old. And I have hated dogs ever since. I mean, I know I have dominion over dogs. I've walked into yards to see men and women, mostly women, with another deacon or something, and three big German shepherds, two or three of them, sometimes as many as three, come running around the house, just rah, rah, rah. And I stop and say, down in the name of Jesus. And boy, them boys will just, I mean, they know, they recognize that I have dominion, and they know it. And I've never had another dog even come close to me biting me. But it doesn't change my love for dogs, so I didn't like dogs. And so when Cheryl and I got married 7 years ago, she had a little dog, and her name was Angel. And when she told me about Angel one day, I said, who's Angel? She said, that's my dog. I said, you have a beast? She said, I have a dog. I said, where does that beast sleep? She said, on my bed. I said, not when you and me get married, she don't. She's going to sleep under the bed. I said, I don't even want a dog in the house. Well, because she was grandfathered in, Angel had to sleep under the bed the next 7 years, 6 years. She slept under the bed as a good little girl. You know, she was a sweet little puppy, but she slept under the bed. And then when Angel had a massive heart attack a little over a year ago and died in my office in Cheryl's arms, I cried with her because I didn't feel sorry for Angel, but I felt sorry for my wife because I saw her heart broken, you know, over her puppies that she'd loved for 16 years. And so I had to cry with her. Well, a couple of months went by and her brother asked her, are you going to get another dog? And she said, well, probably not. You know, Thurman don't like dogs, so we probably won't ever get another dog. Well, another month or so goes by and one day she's thinking, you know, I believe I would like to have another puppy. And so she came to me and said, honey, could I have a puppy? Now, this sweet, loving man that can't do nothing wrong said, absolutely not. There's going to be no dogs in my house. That's it. No dogs. Never again. I said, we've had one. That's it. Well, she goes and gets a couple of the girls, and they pray that very prayer, Lord, soften Thurman's heart and make him more like Jesus so I can have a puppy. Now, you see, girls, you all need to listen. You know, and guys, we need to listen. You can not change your mate either way, but the king can.
Yes, sir.
And so they begin to worship and praise the king for her new puppy. Well, a couple of weeks goes by, and one night she says, honey, has the Lord spoken to you? I said, about what? She said, about my puppy. I said, no, and if he does, the answer is still no. You can't have it. Now, I mean, see, that hard heart's still there. Y'all see where I'm coming from? Does that sound like I'm meeting all this requirement of walking in love? No. I'm not even close. So anyway, another week goes by, and I'm sitting in my office studying one Saturday night about 11:30, and all of a sudden I hear, son? I said, yes, Lord. He said, are you going to withhold from your wife what I have made special for her? I said, Lord, you've made something special for Cheryl? He said, yes. I said, what? He said, a puppy. And are you going to withhold from your wife what I've made special for her? Now, no man in his right mind would say no. You understand that as a pastor, don't you, brother? You understand. I understand. I am never, but just think, This is what blew me away. The king gave me the option to say no. He literally has given me the authority, the spiritual and physical authority over my family on this earth, and he's going to leave it up to me. That's mind-boggling. I said, no, Lord, no, no. She can have it. If you've made her a puppy special, she can have it. So I got up and I couldn't study no more after that, so I just got up and went to bed. And I'm laying back in the bed and I can't sleep. You know, and all of a sudden Cheryl crawls into bed after she gets through with everything she's doing, and she says, well, honey, has the Lord spoken to you yet? I said, about what? I knew what we were going to talk about. She said, my puppy. I said, yes, he spoke to me. She said, and? I said, you can have it. Oh, good. She said, so she runs to the computer. I said, what are you doing? She said, I've already found her on the computer. I'm going to print off a picture and show her to you. So she brought this little tiny picture in there, this little thing, the big as the palm of your hand, and that was on Saturday night. Well, Monday afternoon, her and Pat drives all the way over to Plano, or wherever it was, Rowlett, somewhere over there, and picks up this little tiny black puppy, and of course this little puppy's laying there in Pat's lap on a little bed, and she's sitting there with her little head laying over the side, looking up with her eyes at Cheryl, and Pat and Cheryl drive along there a while, and Pat said, you know, Cheryl, I think she really wants to be over there with you. And so Cheryl held her hand out, and boy, she just ran up her hand, right up her arm, right up on her shoulder, and just curled herself around Cheryl's neck, and she was still laying right there when they got home an hour and a half later. That little puppy today is a year old, and she is the little sweetheart of the ministry. I mean, she runs around here. She is just a delight. And guess where she sleeps? On our bed. You want to talk about an old hard-hearted man getting to be soft-hearted when these girls gang up on you? Guys, you ain't got a chance. Can God, just like that proverb that Dave talked about a while ago, I believe it was Proverb 27:1. Is that it, Dave? 21:1? 21:1. And the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And he will flow it however he wants it. Well, he'll flow it however you pray. Proverbs 21:1. Is that right, Dave? Proverbs 21:1. Yeah. In fact, put that up there right quick, and let's look at that just so that you'll see that. Proverbs 21:1. One, we'll look at it right quick. The king's heart is like a stream of water. Now, this is the NLT. Directed by the Lord, and he turns it wherever he pleases. You know, I used to think that we had a free will. But when I read that, I learned I don't have a free will. You know, if I had a free will, I could make a decision to never accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and there wouldn't be nothing anybody could ever do to change that. But since I know I have the power in prayer with the King, that's how I have gotten a lot of men, hardcore men, saved. That's how David Wilkerson got so many people that were in gangs in New York City, thugs that wanted to kill him. He prayed and asked God to move on those men's hearts. And David Wilkerson changed New York City by his prayer. Now, is that possible with you and me? Of course it is. I talked about that a while ago. Yeah, he definitely passed away at 79 years old. Just last week, he went home to be with Jesus. He was killed in a car truck accident right here in the Metroplex. But he was 79. He was a great man of God. But the king's heart, you could put right there Thurman's heart. Is that right? You could put Bill's heart. You could put Terry's heart. You could put anybody's heart there, right? The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He turns it wherever he pleases. So if you never want to see anybody get saved, you just want to see them all die and go to hell, don't pray for nobody. But that's disobeying God, isn't it? He told you to pray for everybody. So when you pray for people, God will hear your prayer and he will change people's life. And he will change them. I mean, just like Cheryl prayed for me, any woman, every woman needs to realize that if they want to change their husband, don't try to go up to him and say, look, I'm telling you, you're either going to do it my way or I ain't going to feed you no more. Yeah, that ain't the way to change him, is it? You just tell him you love him, you do what God says, and then you go to the throne of grace and you begin to go into the doorstep of God. When you're walking in love, let's go back to that 1 Corinthians 13, where we were there. Right quick, and we'll finish this up. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not boastful, or love is not proud, love is not rude, love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. You show me somebody that you ask him a question. When's the last time I offended you, honey? Don't you answer that. Do most of us remember? Oh, we don't, huh? I go back and ask you a question about your ex-husband. Oh, oh, that hit Rosemary right there. If you remember no wrongs, you don't remember none of that, do you? Oh, my Lord. You see what I mean, Rosemary? Is it hard to walk in this kind of love? Yes. You know, I mean, you ask a woman that's been offended by her ex-husband and he's done all these bad things. Maybe he's run around with four or five or six women, girlfriends or whatever. And every time she knew about it, she remembers every one of them. She don't even try to forget them. She's going to remember it so she can use it as ammunition against him. Huh? Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's right. We don't want to be tormented. It keeps no record of when it has been wronged. Now y'all understand where I'm coming from? I don't know anybody that's ever walked here except our Lord. It's tough. Verse 6 and 7. Love is never glad about injustice. How many times have I seen somebody say, well, I guarantee I'm glad he got what he deserved. I've heard men and women in a divorce do those very things. Very things. And then they laugh about it and gloat over it. And they've never read that proverb that says, if you gloat over somebody else's misfortune, you shall not go unpunished. And so then they never put it together when they get sick or afflicted, that it was because of their disobedience to God's word. Wow. You know, the Lord made us some awesome promises in the new covenant, and He is the only one that's ever fulfilled these requirements. But they're so out there that most people don't even, when they read it, they don't even think like it says. But Jesus said in John 8 and John 11, in both those chapters, he said it two times, if you obey me and do everything I say, you will never see death. You will never die. Is that an awesome statement? I made that statement here a while back and had a preacher call me. He said, Thurman, don't get off on this tangent trying to teach people they don't have to die. He said, I know two preachers that got off on that kick and both of them died. And I said, well, sure. I said, I'm never going to tell you that I've ever met a man beside Jesus that can master that, but I said, I am telling you what the Word of God says. And if Jesus said, I can obey Him in everything, I will never have to be sick. I said, He also said that if I obey Him in everything, I will never not only have no sickness, but I will never die physically. And when God originally created us, how long did He plan for us to live?
Forever.
The physical body is so designed to renew itself where it can live forever. But do you know anybody that's mastered that yet? No. Uh-uh. I know very few people that's mastered living in divine health. Very few. You know, but there is a few. I have met a few. You know, Dave, he's really walking on eggshells, boy. Since he's got healed after being sick for 40 years of his life. Now then that he's totally healed, Dave told me the other day, he said, Pastor, my body and I have had the best relationship this year that we've ever had in our life. Is that right, Dave? He's not been sick. No eczema. He can be out in the sun. He can be out in the wind and the rain, and he's don't have any problem for it. Used to, there's no way he could have done that. He was just like that little girl in there. But where she was that way 8 years, he was that way 40 years. 40 years. And then when I was over to Plano Conference, speaking in a David Fees little conference, that's when Dave came and heard me teach these things. And Dave came, and Dave got healed. And he's totally well after 40 years of sickness. It is never glad about injustice, but love rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful, and love endures through every circumstance. This is tough, isn't it? Yeah, it endures through all these things. Let's go on. Love will last forever. But prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will all disappear. Now we know only a little, and even the gift of prophecy reveals little. As we talked about a couple of Sundays ago about the nine gifts of the Spirit, has any of you asked God for any of those gifts to manifest in your life since we talked about them? Well, if you haven't, shame on you. If you have, if you continue to stay on God's doorstep and you ask Him for one or all of those nine gifts of the Spirit, guess what He's going to do for you eventually? He's going to give them to you. That's exactly right. And they're going to begin to manifest. How would you like to have the gift of faith? How would you like to have the gift of miracles? Pray for somebody and wow, something awesome happened. Would you love that? Boy, me too. What do we have to do to make these wonderful gifts work? Why did he talk about all these wonderful, magnificent, powerful gifts? And then he says, but let me show you a better way. This is how you make them all work. Walk in love. Isn't that something? Walk in love. I remember one day that I walked out of my office, and of course this lovely lady sitting back here right behind Rosemary, Sharon. Sharon was my basket case. I've talked about her, how sick she was and all the things. She couldn't even drive her own car when she came here the first time. And she listened to God's word, and she got healed. And then over the next 4, 5, or 6 years, Sharon just consumed God's word. I mean, every time this church door was open, every Bible study, she was there. And she would read it at home on her own and everything. And her faith just got mountain high. And now then, she's got totally, completely healed of everything. Even, I think the last thing was your knees, wasn't it, Sharon? She finally come a revelation to her that I don't have to have these bad knees no more. Jesus has already done it. And whenever she stepped on that in faith, he instantly healed her legs. She's completely, totally well now from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. But it took her a few years. Well, here a while back, I walked up there, and she walked out of her office, and she grabbed me by the shoulder and said, Pastor, when are these people ever going to get it? Some of them call back 3, 4, and 5 times, and I pray for them, and they still ain't healed. I said, Sharon, how long did it take you to get healed? Oh, about 5 or 6 years. I said, okay, for all of it. I said, you did get some of it immediately, instantly. And I said, that's the part you remember. But I said, Sharon, the thing you have to really realize is when you get off the phone with these people, they need to feel like they had a meeting directly with the King of the universe. Is that the kind of love we're talking about here, Sharon? Is that the kind of love? Is that the way everybody should be after they meet us and talk to us? Should they see Jesus in you? Should they feel the presence of God in you? Yes. But if you're not walking in love, it ain't going to be there. You got to be walking in love. And if you're walking in love, then the King says, faith works by love. He says, come and ask me for anything, and I will do it for you.